And really, the story leads in, I mean, the animal church leads into the story that I want to begin with this morning. There's a guy by the name of Steve Reynolds. The president of World Vision has said that Steve Reynolds has probably done more to alleviate poverty throughout the world than any other single person. In 1985, Steve Reynolds went to Ethiopia during a time of severe famine. And he was there in Ethiopia, and he was caring for the people, and he was trying to provide for their needs. But most of all, he was working at establishing a pipeline so that from the outside world, resources could come flowing in to care for the people in this time of dire need. And one day he got a call from headquarters in the United States, the World Vision headquarters, and he was told that there's a European couple named Paul and Allie Hewson who want to come and spend a month in Ethiopia. And they came and they worked hard. They put in 18-hour days. And in the evening, Paul, who was musically inclined, he'd write up little songs and he'd sing these songs with the kids to kind of lift their spirits. And at the end of a month, they went back to Europe. But they didn't go without making a commitment. They said, we're going to stay connected and we're going to do all that we can to alleviate suffering and poverty in Ethiopia and other African countries. Most of us here this morning know Paul Hewson by his nickname, Bono, from U2. And since 1985, he has traveled around the world advocating for the poorest of the poor. He's lobbied with kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers. He met with the Pope. He's persuaded governments to appropriate billions of dollars to relieve suffering in African countries. But he said it all goes back to that one month in 1985 when he was with Steve Reynolds. He says Steve Reynolds was there, he has been there, he is there. Steve Reynolds is the one who makes sure that the pipeline is there so that resources can keep flowing to those who need the resources the most. He's been there for 28 years now, day after day, working tirelessly behind the scenes. Steve Reynolds, in that uncertain part of the world, for very vulnerable people, Steve Reynolds has become a guy that these folks can count on. He has become one of the most solid realities in their lives. Steve Reynolds' presence says to these people, I'll be there for you. You can count on me. I heard of two guys who were in a firefight in World War II, and they were running for cover, and one of the guys got struck down, and the other guy made it to safety. And when they were there back in the camp, the guy who made it to safety just couldn't get his friend off his mind. And he said to his captain, he said, I'm going to go back and bring Bud home. And the captain said, no, it's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. But the guy kept on insisting, and finally the captain relented, and he went out, and he picked up his fallen friend, and he put him over his shoulders and brought him back to camp. And about the moment he got back into the camp, the guy on his shoulders died. And the captain said, see, I told you it wasn't worth it. The guy says, oh, it was worth it. I got my reward. The moment I got to him, he said, Joe, I knew you'd be back. I knew you'd be back. We're in this series of messages that we have titled Fruit, It Does a Body Good. And we've been reflecting on the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And we've also been hanging with Jesus in John 15, verse 5, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then your lives will bear much fruit. And we've just been encouraging one another to stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus all the time. Stay with Jesus throughout each day. Let his word be living in your heart. Because his word alive in our hearts is going to make us people who are effective in prayer. And prayer will bring us close to God, and our intimacy with God will cause us to bear fruit. And this morning, we're talking about the fruit of faithfulness. I wonder, what synonyms come to your mind when we talk about faithfulness? Just call some synonyms out. Let's get as broad a sense of this word, this meaning that we can. What are some synonyms that come to your mind for faithfulness? What is it? Steadfast. Thank you, Colin. Steadfast. Loyalty, yeah. Steadfast, loyalty. Fidelity. Mm-hmm. Dependable. You know, in the book of Joshua, chapter 23, Joshua is coming to the end of his life. It's interesting. He says, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. That's the way he says he's going to die. I'm about to go the way of all the earth. And he knows that when he's gone, the people are just going to feel lost for a while. The people are going to wonder, how could we make it without him? And so Joshua points the people to God. And here's what he says. I want you to notice it says, you know with all your heart. He doesn't just say you know. He says, you know with all the fiber of your being. I just wanted you to notice that. Now let's read this together. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has fulfilled. Not one has failed. Joshua is telling his people and us, you can trust God. You can take God at his word. When God says he'll provide, he provides. When God says he'll forgive, he forgives. When God says he'll be there, he'll be there. God is faithful. He keeps his word. He delivers on his promise. Now, the question that I want us to just think about for a moment is, do the people who know us best, would the people who know us best say that about us? Would the people who know us best say that about us? You know, faithfulness makes such a powerful impact in our world because faithfulness, frankly, is rare. And so when a person follows through with their promise, it makes an impact because people today tend to stick with stuff how long? As long as it works, they stick with something. Say it again. Oh, stick with something until it hurts. Okay, yeah. Okay. I was thinking about how we stay with something as long as it works until a better prospect comes along. People change jobs and change schools and change brands and change teams and change spouses at an alarming rate. I heard of one pastor who was preparing a couple for marriage, and they were going over the marriage vows. And the couple said, you know, Pastor, this thing about for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, you know, can we take that out? That sounds so ominous. I like this quote by Lewis Smedes. He says, somewhere, people still make and keep promises. They choose not to quit when the going gets tough because they make a promise to see it through. They stick to lost causes. They hold to a love grown cold. They stay with people who are a pain in the neck. They still dare to make promises and care enough to keep the promises that they make. He says, somewhere, people still make promises. And it seems like somewhere ought to be the church, right? The body of Christ ought to be the place. We ought to be the place where people keep their word, even when it's uncomfortable or costly or hard. That's the fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us today. Three Sundays ago, five people made membership commitments. In 2 weeks, six more persons will make membership commitments. And in our membership conversations, we make a big deal about the word devoted. The Acts 2 church, it says that they were devoted. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to prayer, to the breaking of bread. They were devoted. They said to each other, we'll be there for each other to help you, to study and to pray. We want to be there to encourage and counsel you. because there's so much going against the follower of Jesus in our secular world. We can't go it alone. We're going to be there for one another. We're not just a collection of people, friends. We're not just a collection of people. We are a community of faith. Because we belong to Christ, we also belong to one another. I heard of a church consultant who was invited into a congregation because the pastor felt that, yeah, things are really thriving in our congregation, but there's something not right. And so this consultant came and he sat with many of the members of the congregation, and the people told him, yeah, I mean, our worship is just the best. And the teaching that our pastors bring is just right on. And the kids' programs, wow, they're awesome. But then the consultant said to many of the people that he talked to, so what would happen if, you know, the pastors changed or the kids' programs diminished in quality? What would happen? And they responded quickly, said, oh, that's easy. There are plenty of churches around. We'd go to a church that meets our needs. What the consultant found is that a lot of churches are a collection of people. They're not thinking about what it means to be a community, to have a faith family, to be the body of Christ. And what we want to affirm again this morning is that our ultimate loyalty is to Jesus Christ and His kingdom. Our faith family is a local expression of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is our head. We are sisters and brothers in His family. We look to Christ and say, Lord, by Your grace, You can count on me. We look to one another and we say, by God's grace, You can count on me. I'll be there for you. I'd like us to take a moment to look at Jesus and His faithfulness in the relationships of His life. And this is from John 17. And here we notice, first of all, Jesus' faithfulness to His Father. Jesus said this on the night before He was going to be crucified. He looked toward heaven and He prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those You have given Him. Now, this next line is not the key in our point right now, but this is just a key verse. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. Eternal life is knowing God through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, I have brought You glory on earth, notice this, by completing the work You gave Me to do. By completing the work You gave Me to do. And what was the work that Jesus completed? Well, to make God known in the world and to invite people into a relationship with God. That was His task when He came into the world. And Jesus says it's finished. No deed has been left undone. No string has been left untied. Faithful to His Father. But notice now, Jesus also was faithful to His friends, to the disciples. Follow as I read these words. I have revealed You to those whom You gave Me out of the world. I was faithful in that. I showed God to the disciples. They were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have obeyed Your word. For I gave them the words You gave Me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from You, and they believed that You sent Me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, for they are Yours. While I was with them, I protected them, and I kept them safe by that name You gave Me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. So Jesus was faithful to His Father, right? And He was also faithful to His friends. He called them. He taught them. They came to believe. He kept them safe. Even though they doubted Him at times and they disappointed Him often and ultimately they deserted Him, He never gave up on them. And after the resurrection, He came back to them and He said, hey, I'm going to be with you always, even till the end of the age. He was faithful to His Father He is faithful to his friends. And here's the most amazing part of the prayer, I think. He's committed to us. Can we read this together? My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you love me for the creation of the earth. He's praying for us. Those who will believe in me through their message includes us. And he's praying for us even now, I believe. He is at God's right hand, and he's interceding for us, and he knows each one of us, and he's praying for us. And he's saying, I want you to be with me. I want these folks to be with me. I want them to be with me until that day that I take them into glory with me. I want them to see the glory that I had from before the creation of the world. That's faithfulness. That's keeping your word. And the Bible is telling us this morning that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be as faithful to one another as Jesus had been to us. Now, I'd like us to think about faithfulness in the context of our church fellowship. When we become members of this church, we make some commitments. Now, the actual wording of these commitments perhaps has changed through the years, but the content has been pretty much the same. We say to one another, first of all, do you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and the Lord of your life? And we say, yes. I'm trusting Christ for salvation. I'm trusting him to lead me. We're looking up people. We're trusting God for salvation, and together we're trusting God to lead our lives and to lead our faith family. And then we make some more specific commitments. We say, will you devote yourself to worship and fellowship and discipleship and witness with the Finland faith family? And this is what we devote ourselves to. Now, with the help of Martha, we're going to be able to visualize what some of our commitments are as a faith family. Martha's put these pictures together. I don't get any credit for this. She did this. And so we, first of all, are devoting ourselves to be a worshiping people. And so here we are. Sometimes we get up early in the morning before the sun rises. And see down here, I don't know if you can see. Can you see the moon setting here? We get up before the sun rises, and before the moon sets. This is Easter Sunday morning, of course. We get up sometimes early in the morning to worship God, and we worship God together as young and old. The Bible says God is looking for worshipers. And Jesus Christ has opened up the way that as we come before the Lord in worship, we have this opportunity of coming into his presence. And so we say, yes, I'm going to devote myself to worship. I'm going to be there even when the weather is bad or it's too windy outside and I feel like sleeping in. I'm going to be there. And we devote ourselves to fellowship. Fun moments are an important time of our fellowship together. They kind of open us up to one another, I think, so that we can really know one another. And Kathy, even the bubble-blowing races are a part of this fellowship, right? And heartfelt conversations are such an important part of what it means to be a fellowship together here at Finland. And we commit ourselves to be there for one another, no matter what the circumstances are. We'll be there for one another, even if it's inconvenient or we don't know what to say, we'll be there because we understand that when times are hard, what is needed most is faith-filled, loving presence. Here's one of the most awesome moments, I think, for the life of the church. And we, when we become members, as members of this church, we say, yes, we're going to devote ourselves to discipleship. We're going to help one another come to know Christ and grow in Christ. We're going to help each other take a stand for Jesus Christ. We're going to help each other become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And we devote ourselves to witness. We commit ourselves, yes, that we want to represent Jesus every day in our lives, wherever we happen to be. And there are times that we have opportunities to express witness in stuff that is bigger than any one of us can do, that we can do together. And so tonight, we're going to share in a Thanksgiving meal with some neighbors and friends. And on Thursday, some of you are going to Ocean City to serve folks there. And later in December, we're going to join with our sister church in Harlem to bring a Christmas witness to maybe hundreds of folks there. I don't know. We're devoted to one another. We're devoted to one another. I was thinking about this thing last night, and I just felt led to make this point. Some of you here this morning have been a part of our congregation since when you were a child. Some of you were probably carried into this church at the lower campus when you were a baby. And you've been here through the years. You've been trusting God. You've been praying. You've been offering yourself through the years in all seasons of our church life. And I just want to say, your faithfulness has made it possible for some of the rest of us who have come more recently to be a part of this good thing that God is doing. And we just want to say thank you for the faithfulness that many of you have shown in being here, in being there with Christ in the church all these years. Each Sunday, as we reflect on the fruit of the Spirit, we want to pause and say, this is how God wants us to be known. The most striking thing about our church is not our buildings, it's not our programs, it's not our projects. Jesus says, by this is my Father glorified, that you will bear much fruit. The sign of God's presence and at work among us is that his love will be in us, right? He said, remain in my love. The sign of God's presence and work among us is that his joy is in us. He says, I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be full. And the sign of God's presence and work among us is the quality of peace that is here among us. He himself is our peace, Ephesians 2 says. He's broken down the dividing wall of hostility so that stuff that keeps the world apart is overcome in Christ. And there's a quality of peace among the sisters and brothers that's eye-catching to the world. And this morning we're saying that the most striking thing about our congregation is not our building or our programs or our projects, but the most striking thing is that God is growing us in our loyalty to him and our loyalty to one another, so that the relationship that is described in these hands, joined together by faith and love, is what really stands out and catches the attention of our neighbors and friends in the world around us. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Continuing to grow in loyalty to God our Father, continuing to grow in faithfulness to one another and to the particular calling that God has given to each one of us. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would continue to bring this to pass. I pray, Lord, that you would build in our hearts continually a holy honor toward you, and a holy honor toward one another, that we could say to you, Lord, and to one another, you can count on me. In Jesus' name.